What a world, the world of politics, not just national. Let's take it local. The governor's race got quite a surprise this week when ostensible frontrunner on the GOP side, Tom Tancredo, dropped out. And he went on 9 News and he said, "You guys were all against me, so how could I win?
I didn't have the support, the financial support, to make this work."
The other part of your initial statement, blaming the media, seems like a hollow argument that appeals to the base, but may not be factually accurate.
Oh, it's absolutely true. It is as true as you and I are standing here. You guys hate me as much as the Democrats. You in particular, this station in particular, not you individually, but your station and I mean, it's, and the Denver Post and the Gazette Telegraph. Let's face it, I know where my, believe me, this is not my first rodeo. I know exactly where my opponents are. And you guys, especially at Channel 9, are the top of the heap.
That was interesting. Marshall Zellinger with Tom Tancredo. I well remember when Channel 4 got the exclusive that Cynthia Kaufman was going to be giving up her job as Attorney General of Colorado to run for governor. Sean Boyd got the first interview, and it was detailed. And among other things, Sean Boyd said that Cynthia was in it because Tom Tancredo got in it, and that Cynthia was a big contrast. Sean Boyd also made the announcement that Cynthia Kaufman was pro-choice, which was a matter of some conjecture in the weeks that followed on talk radio. But we don't have to guess about how Cynthia Kaufman feels about things, because she's right here returning to a very special place.
The Craig Silverman Show welcomes you to Craig's Lawyers Lounge.
This is the place where prominent attorneys come to relax, tell war stories, kick around current events. Cynthia Kaufman returns. How well I remember her prior visit. I had Don Quick, Democratic candidate for Attorney General, in Craig's Lawyers Lounge. And I got contacted by her staff saying, "Well, when does Cynthia get to come into the lounge?" I said, "Well, when would you like?" Because I like major candidates. I like people involved in current events, and Cynthia Kaufman is certainly that. Cynthia Kaufman, do you remember that first appearance in Craig's Lawyers Lounge?
It was unforgettable, Craig.
Well, you remember I have a team of paralegals standing by who can bring you virtually anything you might desire. What can they bring you today?
You know, my needs really haven't changed. It's a cigar. Excuse me. It's a cigar and a little Stranahan straight.
Okay. You know, we might have had a little glitch there with you with your mic, but if I understand correctly, you ordered, what was that?
That was the usual cigar. And a backup of Stranahan's straight.
A local whiskey and a cigar. And last time you were here, you ordered a cigar, and you went on to get the most votes of any Republican candidate in the field, any statewide official. Is that your good luck charm? And what kind of cigars specifically would you like?
You know, cigars are very popular, I think, with Colorado voters. A Monte Cristo would be great.
A Monte Cristo and a Stranahan's. My team is running outside to get it right now. A lot of people were confused about your entry into the governor's race, and comment was made that your website wasn't even up. But it is now, and it's linked on my radio website. Why the slow start, Cynthia? Was that strategic, or what was going on there?
No, I had to have surgery.
Oh.
Well, so I was recovering from surgery and making sure I was ready for the campaign trail. And when I got my clean bill of health, I announced.
Well, I don't want to invade your privacy.
Please
but
don't.
That's a good excuse, the surgery, and it makes all the sense in the world. How are you feeling now?
I feel great. I have more energy than ever before, and I'm excited about campaigning.
Well, how are you going to get on the ballot? Are you going to go through the caucus assembly process, or are you going to petition on?
You know, I am. I have petition signature gatherers out in the field, and they are hard at work. It may be with Tom's exit from the race that I decide to do both the assembly and petitioning, but we're making that decision this weekend.
To petition on the ballot, veterans like Dick Wadhams have suggested that you need a lot of money. Do you agree with that? And do you have sufficient resources to hire the people to get the necessary number of signatures?
Well, you know, the fact that they're out there doing it for me now should tell you that I have paid them something and they believe that I'm good for the rest of the money. And I won't let them go without being paid. That's not my style. So we're in good shape.
So what is your path to victory in the Colorado governor's race?
Seems like this race changes every week or so, doesn't it? And the path to victory may look a little different. There are a few things here. If you look at my numbers from 2014 when I ran for attorney general, I had the highest winning percentage of any of the statewide candidates at 51.4%. And I only had 3,800 votes less than John Hickenlooper, but 92,000 people more people cast votes in the gubernatorial election. So I think I beat him rather soundly on both scores, although he and I like to joke about this and compete just a little bit. I know that I can win a statewide election and I can win it soundly. I think one factor in that is that I appeal to some of the unaffiliated voters who have left the Republican Party. For one reason or another, I got a number of those votes the last time around, and I also got crossover votes from Democrats. I think that will happen again.
Let's tackle one of those things that was part of the Sean Boyd announcement report, that you got in it because Tom Tancredo got in it, and you were a counterweight to him. Was that true? And how does Tom getting out of the race factor into your chances?
You know, the way I remember Sean asking the question, she said she had visited with Tom and her conjecture was that he was one of the motivations for me getting into the race. Honestly, I think when anyone decides to get into something as challenging as a statewide political race, it's based on our own personal decision and choice that we have something that we can offer. And for me, that's after a career in public service to the state of Colorado, I think I can be the best governor in this field. And that's why I get in. I have things I want to accomplish. I have problems I want to solve. And Tom in or Tom out, I still think I'm the best candidate and the one who will be successful in the primary.
Right after Tom got in, then you got in, and then George Brockler got out. He did an interview with Peter Boyles this week where he said, I got out because Cynthia abandoned a major position, the attorney general job, and we can't afford for Republicans to lose it. Words to that effect. What's your reaction to that?
Can I say bullshit on air?
Oh, boy, you just did.
Did I give you a heart attack? I don't think that's true. I mean, I can't read George Brockler's mind. I think George saw that this was the better opportunity for him to win, and that's why he made the switch.
And we haven't even gotten the Stranahan. Oh, here comes the Stranahans and the scar. And so I would say that that's a word we probably should not use, but you're a public official and you can make your choices. And unless, I don't think that's one of the really worst words, but you might say baloney in the future. But
baloney,
that's okay.
Works too.
You're coming out strong. I can see you're full of, well, pretty soon Stranahans and this Monte Carlo, but why did you give up the AG's job? You served one term, and people thought you could maybe coast re-election. What was your thinking there?
You know, I haven't given it up. I'm still serving as Attorney General through the end of 2018, and I promise you, in the voters of Colorado, I'm there doing the job. If I gave it up, the governor would get to appoint another Attorney General, and I don't think any of us wants that. But I made the decision to run for governor because I felt the timing was right for the state of Colorado to elect a woman, to elect a moderate Republican with some very fiscally conservative viewpoints. And I think I appeal to a broad cross-section of the voters of Colorado, and I know how to do the job of governor. I have worked for a governor. I have worked in the legislature. I've now been in the attorney general's office serving every state agency in state government. I am more than qualified for this job, and I'm eager to lead.
Well, let's stick with something you and I know pretty well, which are criminal justice issues. Do you favor capital punishment? Do you think Colorado should have it?
I do.
Would Nathan Dunlap die on your watch unless Hickenlooper grants him a pardon before then?
I would set an execution date right away.
And do you believe that there's any need for criminal justice reform?
It's a very broad term, and it depends on what you sweep under it.
Well, I understand there was a bill going through the legislature right now to stop indeterminate sentencing of sex offenders, and the DAs are opposed to it, but your office hasn't taken a position. What is your position on that?
No, we haven't. We believe that that's the debate that the legislature needs to be having and make that decision. It's one of several sentencing reforms that have been proposed out of what we call the CCJL, the committee that considers sentencing reform. And I think this is part of a larger debate. I don't know that I would reform one particular statute and sentence at a time. I think we need to look at this globally and decide what it is we're trying to accomplish. But I haven't noticed that criminals are getting any less creative or violent in their behavior. In fact, to some extent, I think we see the opposite. I would not want to relax criminal sentences without some very good debate and reason for it. I don't see it.
I don't know if your ears were burning last night, but on Colorado Inside Out, Joey Bunch, veteran political reporter, said, "What's up with Cynthia Kaufman? She doesn't really have a campaign. I know you have a website now, but do you have a full-blown campaign? Do you have a campaign manager? Are you ready to really participate in this race?"
You know, I'm going to say baloney to Joey. Joey Bunch works for the Colorado Springs Gazette, owned by Phil Anschutz, who has already put out an editorial saying everyone in the Republican primary field should just clear the way for Walker Stapleton because that's who he supports. So I think you need to consider the source. Yes, I have a campaign. As I told you, I won attorney general statewide by a higher percentage than anyone else. I know how to run a statewide campaign, and I think people need to stop worrying about the girl in the race.
Plus, we broke some news, and that is that Cynthia Kaufman had a slow start because she had surgery, which is a great reason. She's well now, and she's full of Stranahan's and Monte Carlo, vim and vinegar. Eric Sonderman ripped you on Colorado Inside Out last night, you and Beth McCann, for not caving into the demands of Clarence Moses L. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I'm not going to write a check for $2 million of Colorado taxpayer money when I don't believe that the process has been followed. The Colorado Exoneration Act is a new law. We have only been through this process once before, but it is a civil action that we are in now, and the defendant is supposed to prove his innocence by clear and convincing evidence before he is reimbursed for the time spent in jail. We have a victim who was beaten severely, who was raped, who lost partial eyesight in one eye. She's raped in front of her children, young children. She has contended since the beginning that Clarence Moses L. was the person who committed that crime. She says it today. I don't doubt her. And so if he did not commit the crime, then I want to see him prove his innocence before he gets taxpayer dollars.
What about the Me Too movement? How has that impacted you, and what do you think of that whole thing?
You know, it's fascinating to watch Me Too develop and pick up steam. I think, unfortunately, it's been hijacked by Hollywood. I think when it began, and certainly still, there is some real validity, and I have to look at the U.S. Olympic team gymnast to see that this is a very serious issue that we are dealing, sexual harassment and assault among women. I am very pleased that the conversation is occurring. I have done a lot of work on sex assault prevention, particularly on college campuses as Attorney General. But I think we have to be taking it very seriously and deliberately and reacting to the stories that we hear individually and saying, this is the time to change as a society. It's a turning point.
Well, you're a prominent woman candidate, and you're featuring the fact that you are female. Do you have any Me Too stories? And do you think you being governor would, why is it important that you're a woman?
Mm-hmm. I have Me Too stories. I haven't chosen to share those publicly. I think a lot of compelling stories have been told. To me, Colorado is in a position as a state, as a Western state, and as a, let's say, purple. I call it red violet instead of blue violet in my crayon box. But I hear over and over again, both from men and women, that they would like to see a woman in that behind that desk, in that chair, in the Capitol, running state government. That they think it is time. And so we'll see what the voters think. We have Democrat candidates who are strong women as well.
Are you going to tell your Me Too stories? I mean, I won't press you, but now would be a perfect time if you want to.
I think most any woman my age, I'm 56, who has grown up in the business world and in a career has had more than one of these experiences. And I could tell you several stories. This is a small one. It's minor, but it made such an impact on me as a young intern at the state capitol. When I moved to Colorado in 1997, I worked at the state legislature. And there was an older gentleman senator, very well respected, who came up to me on my first day on the floor of the Senate and took a hold of my magnetic name tag, which you can guess where the name tag was positioned on my brand new suit jacket, and took
on
a hold.
Your chest?
Yeah. Took a hold of my name tag and just held onto it and said, you know, I can't really see what your name is. Tell me what your name is, honey. And, you know, it was one of a series of things that have happened to me that have made an impression, and it pushes a button. And as a woman, all of us have to decide how we want to react to that, and whether we want to react in the moment or whether we want to make a statement when we're on Craig Silverman's show about the fact that the behavior needs to stop.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in, and this is your first extensive radio interview in the Denver market. And you know that it's a hotly fought race for the Republican nomination. And have you participated in forums with the other candidates?
I have. We've had several forums. And then week before last, the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry had both Democrat and Republican candidates together. I believe that was the first time. And that was fascinating.
And do you plan on throwing haymakers at the other candidates?
No.
But do you expect they might throw some shots at you?
I think we've already heard some, but I don't think that that's what the people who are making a decision about who they want to be their governor really want to hear. I think people are tired of divisiveness. Now, feistiness, you will hear and you will see, because I'm not going to be pushed around. But I don't think that we get anywhere by calling names, labeling, and attacking fellow candidates.
But it is a Republican nomination, and you've already stated that you hope to attract a lot of independents, such as me. I'm unaffiliated, but I have to make a choice. Which primary am I going to participate in? And we can participate, and I'm excited about that. But amongst Republicans, I expect people will remember the incident with Steve House, you and Tom Tancredo and another woman confronting Steve House about an alleged infidelity, telling him to get out of the chairmanship. I wasn't there, but it was widely reported. Steve House came on my radio show, among others, to talk about it. Do you think this will come up? And have you made peace with Steve House?
Well, just about every fact you just stated was incorrect, but I don't think I want
to
go
ahead.
In. I don't think it's necessary to go into the story because Steve and I talk regularly. We talked this week. And we have a good relationship. We buried the hatchet long ago. And I think that is constructive, not only for us as individuals, but for the party. We both care about the good of our state Republican Party. And I'm happy that we have moved on from what was a painful and was supposed to be a private conversation, and certainly was not about what you say it was. It was about many other things that had happened.
But where do you draw the line on privacy? I mean, you're a public figure. You were married to Mike Kaufman. Now you are divorced. Is that fair to talk about? Is it an amicable situation?
I think that my personal privacy allows me to say I don't need to answer questions about my marriage or divorce on the radio.
Fair enough. What about, speaking of right to privacy, you and I have been around long enough to remember that the U.S. Supreme Court talked about a right of privacy in Griswold v. Connecticut, and then that was expanded into Roe v. Wade back in 1973. That's been the law of the land ever since. Do you support Roe v. Wade?
I frankly think it would have been better if the United States Supreme Court had said, we're leaving this decision to the states. I think that's where it belongs. I think states, as sovereigns, should be able to make a determination about a right and about equal protection when it comes to the very personal and difficult decision of abortion. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court chose to create a right, and we have seen this become the most divisive social issue of our lifetime, certainly. And the fact that we continue to relitigate it tells me that people still feel very strongly about it. But this is a decided question. The Supreme Court of the United States has said this is the way it is, and there is a right to choice. Women can decide personally with their doctor and their family and their faith whether they want to have an abortion or not. I support the law. I do as Attorney General. I do as Governor. I think if you're going to be an elected official, you need to support the law. You can have a personal opinion that is different, but that to me is a settled question, and we really need to move on from that. People have deep personal beliefs about this. And I have all the respect in the world for people who have a religious belief one way or the other. But as a government, as a society, we have a court ruling that tells us this is where the line is. Let's go forward.
Right. It is a divisive issue. And as a lawyer, I would agree with you that the Supreme Court seemed to overreach and take the decision away from the states. I grew up in Colorado, and I remember it was Dick Lamb, a former governor, who, when he was a legislator, sponsored some of the first abortion on demand laws here in Colorado. So even before Roe v. Wade, we had abortion on demand. But the abortion debate, especially if President Trump gets a couple more appointments like Neil Gorsuch, it could come back to the states. And I think it would be even more divisive, because then every state rep race, every state Senate race, and certainly every governor's race would hinge on what would Colorado do. And we're seeing around the country now, there are lots of states that are putting severe restrictions on a woman's access to abortion. And listen, you're talking to me and not any other talk host, and we all have to state our opinions. And I believe in a woman's right to choose in the first trimester. And I'm wondering if you agree with me.
You know, it's the labeling that bothers me.
Well, I'm not
Craig,
putting a label on it.
No,
I'm not saying you're pro-abortion, but should a woman have a right to choose to terminate her pregnancy in the first trimester or not?
I believe that's what the law says, and I believe so.
But in your heart, do you think that's right, or do you think that's murder and taking of an innocent human life?
I think we have made a decision as a society that this is the right of a woman, and I don't disagree with that.
And then there was a bill put before the Congress this week that said after 20 weeks that the human embryo can feel pain. The brain is developed to the point where pain is felt. And the legislature, our Congress, had to make a decision on that. That's where I would have said, you know, I think at that point it's a different thing. Do you know how you would have voted on that 20-week bill?
You know, I think at that point it's a different thing also. I have not read all of the research. I've not followed the debate. So saying how I would have voted it's a bit of conjecture because I wasn't there. But I think we have seen science and technology evolve greatly since the Supreme Court made its decision. And I think revisiting when an abortion is safe and should be legal is a question that our society may want to look at again and with a different court.
even as a person who believes in a woman's right to choose in the first trimester, I was tremendously disturbed by the Planned Parenthood videos that showed selling of baby parts. These were well-developed embryos, almost to the point of viability, and organs were harvested and sold. And some of it had a connection to Colorado, and an argument could be made that you as Attorney General should have stepped in. Do you agree with that? And why didn't you do something about it?
You know, I know that that was a very significant issue and a disgusting video from the parts that I saw. Colorado law vests, the authority in the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to regulate the sale of fetal tissue and body parts. And that is an agency of the executive branch, not a responsibility or an authority that the Attorney General's office has. I think it's confusing sometimes to people who think that, like some other state AGs, we can go out and investigate whatever we think is happening in Colorado that is possibly violative of law. We can't, as Attorney Generals. Colorado has not given an Attorney General that kind of power. So we have to work through the system as it is in the statute books, and that's where right now where the authority is, and that hasn't been changed.
Some Republicans simply will not vote for an individual who does not say, I'm pro-life and proud of it. What would you say to those kind of Republicans?
Well, you know, there are a lot of Republicans and independents who won't vote for someone unless they say they're pro-choice. So I think, as we have said, we're coming back to the fact that this is a polarizing issue. What I think is unfortunate is that for all the people who say we want to elect a Republican and have a Republican governor in this state, we keep bringing up the most divisive issue and waving it around and having the discussion and further polarizing people. We put people in the position of having to make a choice about their candidate based on a single issue. And whether it's abortion or gay rights or guns, I don't think that's a responsible way to approach and speak to the electorate. I think we need to give people more credit that they can choose to vote for a candidate when they agree with 75 or 80% of what they think. They don't have to have a 100% match.
Back to the Supreme Court, the Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop ruling is going to be decided. I understand you were back east for the oral argument. Your Attorney General's office had a decision to make. Did you back the state of Colorado and the Civil Rights Commission, or did you have a choice to say, we're going to sit this one out because I don't believe that Jack Phillips should have to make a cake if he doesn't want to? What was your choice, and what are you hoping for in the court ruling?
You know, I appreciate the question because I think this is confusing to folks. The Attorney General of the state is charged with defending the laws of Colorado and representing the state agency clients and the boards and commissions of the state. So the Colorado Civil Rights Commission is a client of my office, and they came to us early on when they were making their administrative decision and asked for representation. In fact, it was under my predecessor, John Southers, that he and the office made the decision to represent the Civil Rights Commission. If the Attorney General does not take a case, this case or any other case, then someone is hired to represent the state of Colorado. So if I choose to sit a case out, which I think is an abdication of my responsibility under the law, then the governor gets to go out and hire someone at probably 5 to 6 times the rate per hour that my office charges, $109 hefty dollars is what we charge. And in this case, I think it very well could have been the American Civil Liberties Union that was chosen to represent the state, had my office not done it, because they're representing the couple in the case. That, to me, is an untenable position to be in. And I think that I have a responsibility to the voters. I said I'll uphold the rule of law. This is what the Colorado law is. It's a public accommodation law. It says you can't discriminate. If you're going to open the doors of your business and serve one person, you have to serve all. Now we have a question, and apparently the Supreme Court of the United States thought it was a close question, because out of out of 7,000 to 8,000 petitions for certiorari they get each year, they hear 80 cases, and they chose this one.
But you could have opted out. You acknowledge that, and then a private law firm would have been hired. It clearly would not be the ACLU because they would have had a conflict. They already weighed in. Well, they already weighed in on behalf of the gay couple who made the complaint against Jack. Surely you could have found a conservative law firm.
I don't get to make that choice. That's the governor's choice.
Okay.
I don't get to hire that in that.
I see.
That so,
but what do you hope for? Yeah. What do you hope the Supreme Court rules on the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake issue?
I hope they give us clarity. Is honestly sitting and listening to the questioning of the court and the arguments by counsel, I was left feeling that I wasn't clear at all on what way the court will go. I think it's going to come down to Justice Kennedy.
I thought your Solicitor General did a great job. Were you rooting for him? He made the strongest argument for upholding Colorado law. And some conservatives have said that that's the conservative position, states' rights. Colorado should be able to mandate its own laws. So can't you take a position on how you hope this case comes out when you get the ruling? Are you hoping that your side won, or are you just as happy if the other side won?
You know, for me, as an attorney and in the attorney general's office, you're really not a politician. I know people probably smirk at that, but you're there to uphold the law. All I want is clear direction, because I think these cases will come up again and again. And I hope the Supreme Court does explain to us where they want the lines drawn. I think without that, we will just continue to have the argument, and it's much better in this situation and others if we just have clarity.
Well, I'm enjoying the Stranahan's and the cigar, although it's making us both choke a little in the studio, but it's fun. And I always tell people when they come into Craig's Lawyers Lounge that the Attorney General of Colorado ordered a Stranahan's and a cigar, and she went on to a great victory. So you should be creative like her. I don't know how your time is. I said a half hour. If you have to go, I can wrap this up. Or I could order another Stranahan's for you.
I think one is plenty. One more question, and then I'm sorry I do have to go because I have a commitment right at noon.
All right. This is what I picked up on when you used the semi-profanity, not the worst I heard. It was in reaction to George Brockler talking about you abandoning a big state job. And last I knew, and this was years ago, I remember when you and George Brockler were friends and colleagues and mutual supporters. But from your profanity, I take it that there's been a bit of a falling out. Am I right?
You know, I support George, and I think that he would make the best attorney general. And I certainly, as a Republican governor, want a Republican attorney general. George and I don't always agree, and I don't think that's a bad thing. But he has positions on what he thinks the authority of the attorney general's office should be that differ from mine. And we find ourselves rather frequently butting heads about that. I support George. I will be voting for George, and I hope he's the next attorney general.
Well, you two would need to get it together over a Stranahan's and a Monte Cristo.
Great idea.
Cynthia Kaufman, I appreciate your time. It's your first major Denver interview, and thanks for the whiskey and the conversation.
Thank you very much, Craig.
That's Cynthia Kaufman. We'll take your calls next, 303-696-1971. Let's close up Craig's Lawyers Lounge.
In just a year, the president has accomplished so much.
We have created.